This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
What's up? Real MVPs, Ricky Widmer here, not with Mark Weber, and you might notice I'm in the same attire as a fast break as all of us are, as I'm joined
by... It'd
be
weird if we just changed shirts right now.
It would be.
I wouldn't fit into either of your shirts, so we wouldn't be able to do that.
We were just talking about putting our own clothes on.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about, like, Chinese fire drill.
No.
We could have done
shirts.
That, too.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Dave and I could try that.
But those voices that you're hearing, Sean Anderson.
Dub them easy.
And Dave Oster.
Now I'm really confused. Hey, everybody.
Well, you can also dub them easy.
No, I'm hey, everybody.
He always dubs those.
Because that's my line from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I dub them ease because there's an E in Sean and there's an E in Anderson. You could do it in Dave and then Oster.
That's true.
I cannot. Although Mark's on IR right now, I got to fill in and be the best I can. I got to run this offense like Nick Foles.
Yeah, dub them ease. You got to be Big Dick Nick out there.
Mm-hmm.
Big Dick Sean.
I'll actually get us some gold, too, unlike Mark.
Yeah.
Oh.
But this is the Onside Kick, our pro football podcast. I can say that now because we talk about the NFL and the AFL. We got a jam-packed show. Mark's not here. Don't know the reason. I didn't care to ask Mark. But Mark, I hope you're doing well. He said that he will be there Thursday, though, for Too Old the Game. But got a jam-packed show for you guys. Going to be talking about some AB to the Cardinals, potentially. Going to be looking at some AFL or AAF football. AFL. AAF football. And then we'll wrap things up with the Giants. Could they be getting Russell Wilson at the end of this year? Before we get into everything, make sure to check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. You can join us at the $10 tier and be on a podcast each and every month. You're at that tier. Before I get into it, what is so funny?
Now I know
what Sean feels like on the fast break.
I'm just enjoying this.
I made an extremely insensitive joke that I would feel horribly to say out loud.
Don't say it, though.
It involves Jim Boeheim and where Mark is.
Yep. Well, that pretty much just says it all right there.
I want to say the words. And then
Mark,
Dave. Yeah.
I was just following up on something from the fast break that I forgot to share with you guys during the fast break.
So, AB, yep. Cardinals. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
So there was NFL analyst Bill Barnwell suggested recently that, and I hope we're recording this on Saturday.
He didn't just suggest, he dropped a barn burner.
He dropped a barn burner. He basically said that the Cardinals could trade for Antonio Brown. I almost said Anthony Brown. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Giving the Steelers not just Josh Rosen, but also a mid-round pick, like a fourth-round pick, freeing up to take Kyler Murray with the number one selection. I'm going to go to Sean first because when I asked who wanted to take it first, Sean said, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, should the Steelers and the Cardinals make this deal to send AB to Arizona?
Absolutely not from the stance of the Cardinals. I understand that people are super excited about Antonio Brown being available. Makes sense. He's one of the best wide receivers in my career, in my life. Probably, in top five of my life. Again, Jerry Rice is obviously number one, but I wasn't around for Jerry Rice. I think Randy and T.O. would probably be at the top of that class. I just think that with his personality and trading away such a young quarterback would be a foolish mistake. And I understand the connections with Cliff that Kyler does have, but Kyler isn't a for sure hit in this draft. I am extremely worried about his size. I know people will bring up Russell Wilson. They'll bring up Drew Brees. Those guys have had more than extremely successful careers. Those guys are Hall of Famers already, especially Russell Wilson. I know he's extremely young. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but I think it'd be tough for him not to be a Hall of Famer. I just look at Kyler, though, and I'm extremely worried about him being able to look over the NFL line and be able to make those reads. I'm not saying he's not smart. He's clearly athletic. He can play two sports. And players have made it done before. And I heard a stat that he's passing in Oklahoma. He was passing 85% of the time. But when the defenders get bigger, when the offensive linemen get bigger, when the game speeds up, that is something that is going to worry me. And you can't scheme like you did in college. You can't be quicker with your reads like you were in college. Brady, dissecting the offense. Obviously, I'm wearing a Brady shirt, so I'm going to bring him up. dissecting the offense and being able to get the ball out of his hands in 2.9 seconds is something that is elite. Will Kyler be able to do that quick enough in the NFL? I have major concerns about that. And taking him number one, I think, would be a mistake. But then also trading Josh Rosen, who is so young, who I was so high on last year, I feel like would be misguided, especially bringing in someone in Antonio Brown who isn't the best to bring a locker room together. Now, having Larry Fitzgerald in that locker room might also help, mm-hmm. but having a young head coach in Cliff Kingsbury would be something that would worry me.
What do you think, Dave?
Oh, I'm all in on this move. I'm 110% in. You make this move 10 times out of 10, Sean. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, you end up with one of the best wide receivers in football today on 3-year contract, which obviously it's a lot of money. It's 22 mil, 18, 19 mil the following year. It's a lot of money. I get the hesitancy there for a player who has had some on the field and off the field concerns.
Yeah.
But you also get the green light to take your guy, your dude, and Kyler Murray. And he is special. You already talked about, you know, the concerns is basically the vision, the height. Can he overcome that in the NFL?
And not only that, too, yeah. like, can his body hold up taking NFL hits?
That's true. I mean, he'll have to be incredibly smart with mm-hmm. his run game because he is a mobile quarterback and he does like to peel out on guys, which is hilarious to watch in college because he will outrun every single defensive end. Mm-hmm. It's not even mm-hmm. funny.
Which I'll ask you, yeah. pop it in there for both of you.
Of course.
I asked Mark this last week. I'm going to ask you over under
yep.
on 2 combine hits for Kyler Murray. Number one is his height. Over under 5'9.5".
Under.
When he's officially measured.
Under.
I'll say over.
Is it with shoes? Is it with 13-inch
However
spikes?
They measure at the combine.
I will say he will be under. Okay. I'll say 5'9".
Because people are saying 5'9".
Spot on.
Everyone's saying 5'10", so that's why I put
people
the
put
line
a magical,
at 5'9.5".
It's weird, because in the last, it's been mm-hmm. the, what, month? They're like, magic. Yeah. No, he's 5'10", he's not 5'9". Yeah. It's like, dude, mm-hmm. where did that come from?
Yeah, I was heard he's 5'7".
Exactly.
There were people that were like, I'll be surprised if he's 5'. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's 5'8".
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hope that it's a 5'10".
The other one.
Yep, bring
the
it.
40. Over under a 4'2", 40. Does he get, or over under a 4'3", 40?
Yeah, I was going to say, 4'3" should be the bench.
Does he hit 4'2", anything?
He doesn't run it. That's okay. my thing. If he's not throwing, I don't think he's going to be running.
You don't think he's going to run the 40?
No, I think he's going to show up, and I think he's probably okay. going to do as little as possible.
He will get weighed. He will get measured.
Yeah. He's.
He will answer some questions.
Yeah,
exactly. He is there to show his character and not his skills.
Okay.
Because he's made a clear decision to become an NFL player. He's going to do stuff at his pro day, but I don't think he's going to do stuff at
if
his
if he runs it over under a 5'3", does he get 4'3"? To 5'3"?
That's Brady level. Does he, 5'3".
Does he get say, to, does he get to 4.2
where the goats
anything?
Live.
I think he's a 4.32 guy. Mm-hmm. I think he is just on the other half because 4.2 speed's insane. I'm sorry, that's just.
I mean, Usain Bolt was like what he ran at Super Bowl week and got like a 4.24
in flip flops.
Yeah, in flip flops
and capris.
Yeah,
yeah, I get it.
I think
he's really fast.
The
he's
fastest real. Is what Chris Johnson 4.28.
Chris Johnson, so. The fastest automatically timed score, I believe.
Yeah, yes. I would say he's around the.
There are rumors of Dion being a different level and someone else as well.
I would mm-hmm. say 4.3 and higher. 4.3, 4.3, 4.7.
Yeah. Those are just two of the ones I know. I asked Mark popped in while you were giving what you were saying, Dave.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's good questions around him mm-hmm. as an athlete though, because that's what he is. He is a special athlete. Not only mm-hmm. is he a gifted thrower, but he's also able to be. That mobile pocket or that anti-pocket passer. He mm-hmm. is mobile. He's able to get out in space and create, which changes for me, you know, when you come up with the concerns about height, he changes the line of play because he's able to readjust himself to a different position. He gets out in space and that line is no longer lined up where it's just a brick wall in front of you. You have those gaps, you have that mm-hmm. space and you have that vision to make things happen. And I think that's what makes him completely viable to me. Like, I don't look at the height as a huge concern because I think that he will be able to put himself in a position, whether it's deeper drops or he'll be able to get out to one side or the other to the point where that's not going to be a concern, where you're going to see a lot of balls doinked off
a lot of balls
doinked off the back of guys' helmets. One of the tallest quarterbacks in the league, in Jacksonville, I can't remember his name.
Bortles.
He has, I think, the highest amount of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage, and he's one of the biggest guys. Mm-hmm. So it's throwing motion for me, and Kyler Murray has a clean throwing motion.
Well, and for me, I'm going to say I agree.
Just to bring that up real
you.
Quick, I mean, you can even look at the Colts-Chiefs playoff mm-hmm. game, and, I mean, Chris Jones was batting everything that Andrew Luck was throwing down.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about
they just put up an arm.
And if we're talking about some of the cleanest throwing motions ever.
He's not the cleanest.
Luck has got... Yeah. Great motions.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Luck was the prodigy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would say I agree with Sean, but for a different reason.
Okay, let's hear it.
If I'm the Cardinals, I don't want Antonio Brown. And the reason why I say that is you have Cliff Kingsbury coming in. I don't know if Kingsbury can handle the ego of AB. I don't know if he could do it because let's be honest, Tomlin kind of controlled it, but towards the end, like, no, he hasn't. That's what I'm saying, Dave. He's kind of controlled it by letting AB.
He's done a fine job.
By letting AB do his own thing. And it's like the Tomlin culture has fit AB until right now. I just don't think that AB fits the culture that you'd want to build with the Cardinals. I get he's miraculous wide receiver talent and he would make that team better. I just feel like you have a younger, like you have a coach that's been dealing with college kids coming in. You have a young guy at your quarterback that you can mold. You have the consummate veteran in Larry Fitzgerald coming back for his final year. You have guys like Christian Kirk on this team that are still young. Why would, like, would adding AB create a volatile situation in Arizona? That's what I would wonder.
I think the big, like, and I don't want to write off that the Cardinals shouldn't do this. I think that if the Cardinals believe that their guy is Kyler Murray and that, you know, they can expend Josh Rosen and the Steelers would be interested in that offer and you get Antonio Brown to help Kyler Murray, like, yes, it would be a good addition if that's the direction you want to go. I'm just disagreeing with the direction. And some people might bring up the fact that I brought up the youth of Josh Rosen. They're, and I mean, him and Kyler Murray are very similar age. Kyler Murray was born August 7th, 1997. He's a little bit older than me. And Josh Rosen was born February 10th, 1997. So, like, the difference is not too drastic. No. They're both going to be 22 at the start of the year. So it's really going to come down to who do you think is going to be the better NFL pro? And Antonio Bryant, as talented as he is, how long can
Antonio
he hold
Brown.
Up? What is that?
He's a Bryant.
Oh, my bad. Antonio Brown, how long can he hold up as a wide receiver? Because he is 31, but he's also on the smaller side of wide receivers. So is he going to still be in his prime come the end of this contract? Because Larry Fitzgerald, one of the more miraculous players that we've seen in the past couple of years, he has still been efficient, but he hasn't been the Larry Fitzgerald that we've seen. And that just happens naturally with wide receivers. They take so much damage. They're catching 100 balls a game. They're getting or 100 balls a season. They're getting hit every single game on every single catch pretty much. I just think with his size, his maybe possible lack of work ethic, and his diva mentality, would that take away from his ability to be productive for the Cardinals? Where Josh Rosen, if he is the better quarterback, we've seen time and time again that is more helpful to your franchise having a franchise quarterback that can be there for a very long time. And you have Rosen still under contract. Now, the big thing will be if you draft Murray, you can just re-up that and get him for longer. But if you think Rosen's going to be the better quarterback and, you know, Kyler might not bolt to the MLB, I think you might just stick with Rosen.
Well, and that's the thing, Dave, I'm going to throw to you. We were kind of talking before the podcast. One of my biggest things is I've had conversations with Brandon because Brandon, as soon as Kingsbury got the Arizona job, was like, trade Josh Rosen, take Kyler Murray. Because he doesn't think that Josh Rosen's going to do well after 1 year in the NFL. Where I'm sitting there going, did you realize this team and how bad that offensive line was? And how this offense, like, they had a head coach that was a defensive mind that didn't set them up in the right mind offensively and, like, shouldn't have even gotten that job in
he
my mind.
He wasn't even a good coach.
Exactly. Yeah, that was, like, I was calling for him to get fired, like, with 5 weeks left in the season, it seemed.
They fired their offensive coordinator midway through the season, brought in Byron Leftwich.
Exactly. What, to you, like, this team is not something where it's like, Kyler Murray can't just step in and boom, that's the saving fix. They got to fix this offense.
Well, I think Kyler Murray would be a step in the right direction to fix this offense because Josh Rosen was more of a typical or a prototypical quarterback from an NFL build. He's got good size. He's got good vision on the field. The one thing that I just think that would open them up is adding in someone who has that mobility, buys that offensive line some time. It gives them the ability to kind of cover up for that deficiency. Because if your quarterback's mobile, yes, there's a good chance he will get hit more. Actually, there's not a good chance. It's a great chance he will get hit more. Mm-hmm. That's just from a statistical point of view. If you look at the Russell Wilson, the Cam Newtons, any of these guys who tend to run, you're going to get hit more. But if those offensive lines aren't as well polished or as cohesive as they need to be, having a mobile quarterback is a godsend for them. So I think that I would absolutely agree with Brandon that going in the direction of go with Kyler Murray, get someone who has that it factor to him. I know he's not the perfect mold of what you want as a quarterback. That is similar to what Josh Rosen could be. Remember last year we talked a lot about Josh Rosen in that top group of quarterbacks and why I think Sean and I, we both agreed on him being the better option. But
Like a Darnold.
Right? I don't know if it was over Darnold. It was guy who went to the Buffalo Bills.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah, we both liked him more than Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate saying this. I believe I said Josh Rosen was the best quarterback. In the draft. I think most people thought he was the most pro-ready coming out, too.
And that's the thing, is he is what people expect out of a quarterback, and the problem is this Cardinals team doesn't have the pieces around him to protect him.
Well, and the biggest thing that I want to bring up, too, and we talk about the pieces that aren't around him. The pieces, I think, are around him to make a jump next year. Because, I mean, we look at...
You're talking about Cardinals as is.
Yeah, Cardinals as is. I mean, you have a reliable weapon in Larry Fitzgerald. He's not a stud anymore, but he's still a top 30 wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You have a fantastic running back, David Johnson, who's now going to be fully healthy after an injured year. You have Christian Kirk, who's a newly drafted wide receiver who showed potential in his first year. And now you finally have an offensive-minded coach that can help you out and draw up schemes and help you read the offense quicker. And Josh Rosen already is a very smart quarterback that can already, I think, you know, read offenses fairly well, and having Kingsbury, who can draw up plays where these guys can get open easier, I think that's going to exceed the ability for Josh Rosen to become a better quarterback. And the biggest thing that we keep seeing for these young quarterbacks that, you know, might not have a great first year is that once they get an offensive quarterback or offensive minded head coach, that they can take that next step. And we're going to look in the past three years, Jared Goff, Josh Rosen, Mitchell Trubisky all did not have good years, but they all had defensive minded coaches that were either old or too young. Jeff Fisher, John Fox, and then Steve Wilkes. You look at Jared Goff, completion percentage, 54.6% his rookie year. Josh Rosen, 55.2%. Mitch, 59.4%. Josh threw for the most yards, but he also played for the most amount of games, 2,278 compared to Goff's 1,089 and Mitch's 2,193. Josh threw the most touchdowns, again, through had more, what's it called, games played, but he threw 11, Mitch threw 7, Goff threw 5. Goff had 7 interceptions, Rosen had 14, Mitch had 7. They all had pretty much 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratios, or more interceptions to touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then also the ratings. I mean, Mitch had a 77.5 quarterback rating, Josh had a 66.7, and Goff had a 63.6. Like, we can't write them off after 1 year, especially a 22-year-old. No, I'm just saying, like, think a guy about like the Brandon. Value. I'm saying like a guy like Brandon.
Okay, I'm just saying, think about the value, though. You're trading basically, you know, someone who, like you said, you are going to hope makes that jump from being, you know, underutilized as a quarterback, and you know, then the game speed will kind of slow down for him in that year or two, hopefully with the better support staff. But you're trading him away to get one of the best wide receivers in football and one of the most explosive weapons in college football in Kyler Murray, and a 4th-round pick rumored. I think that is a great haul for him. You get someone else's problem child who comes in happy. He gets to work with one of the legendary wide receivers in NFL history.
Yeah.
And
a guy that they know, too. They've been working out
together. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, like, you kind of calm that storm that was Antonio Brown's frustration from Pittsburgh, because think about it. His big thing in Pittsburgh was, you paid me, great, I'm happy, why won't you throw me the damn ball now? And he was instantly replaced by Juju Smith-Schuster this year. There was a very clear shift in direction of that team. And I think that on this Cardinals team, you would not have that problem because he has different weapons around.
Fitzgerald is only coming back for the 1 year, I believe.
Exactly.
And to counter that, though, the big thing with Antonio Brown was he was getting double teamed so much that Juju was more open. So Ben was just making decisions to hit the open guy. And you look at it, I think Brown had more yards per receptions than Juju did. I think he had more yards in general. I think Juju had more receptions, but I also think Antonio led the team in touchdown receptions. So, I mean, it wasn't like Antonio was not being used.
No, but he could have done more. It is a scary thing.
I think
he was underutilized on that team.
I disagree with that, because he was still putting up similar numbers. His numbers took a drop off, but that was also because teams started to focus in on him more, which allowed Juju to be a better wide receiver. I think that's the way that offense was supposed to work, and I don't think it was a really pointed criticism from Antonio Brown going towards the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think just looking at what the Steelers, the Steelers should obviously trade Antonio Brown. I don't think they have a choice. but with the Cardinals, a big thing with Antonio Brown is he's consistently won. Like, mm-hmm. this team is, you know, they've made the playoffs for most of the years that Antonio Brown's been in Pittsburgh. I know they didn't make it last year. They're usually around a 10-win to 12-win to 13-win team. But, you know, this is a Cardinal team that if this defense doesn't step up, Cliff Kingsbury is so inexperienced and they start losing, I don't think that's going to qualm his problems. Because I think, you know, if he's not getting the ball enough, well, we're not winning enough. Like, I think it, mm-hmm. and there's always going to be a problem with Antonio Brown. He's always going to find something. That's just how these guys work. The only time that I did not see Randy Moss complaining was when he caught 23 touchdowns and they went to the Super Bowl.
It's not like Antonio Brown had publicly spoken out about problems before a year and a half ago. I would say that was the line in the sand.
His contract started nearing up, it ramped up.
Pre-Antonio.
Like, hey, pay me. And then they paid him.
Yeah.
And then he realized
I think
what
that might be a little more fair.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, it's not like he was always a problem child.
No.
I think this was an issue with the Steelers organization.
He's a seventh round pick that worked his ass off.
Yeah, he's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I want to throw, and this is kind of what I want to end with, is with this coming out, and of course, this isn't from the Steelers because they could ask for more if they want to. Let's use this as the base. Josh Rosen is in a fourth for AB. I got two other teams that could easily be like, hey, we will get into the running
mm-hmm.
because we have backup quarterbacks that we could give you as well.
Yeah.
I want to throw two teams at you in potential deals. You guys let me think of to me, the Cardinals might be the best because Rosen's got more flexibility contract-wise. But the first one's the Colts. They've got Jacoby Brissett mm-hmm. behind Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck proved, hey, you know what? No, the injury is not hindering me. We don't need Jacoby Brissett.
We've got a guarantee.
They could move Jacoby.
Thrower.
His only thing is he's an unrestricted free agent after this year.
Mm-hmm.
They could offer Jacoby a pick. You also have the San Francisco 49ers who, yes, no, they have Nick Mullins, but they could offer him and maybe
King
a third
no.
or him a fourth and a future pick. To me, those two teams might be better fits than the Cardinals for AB.
Ricky, I love you, but those trade ideas are horrible. By far, the best trade package for the Steelers is Josh Rosen.
Yeah, they've
got the future.
Nick Mullins,
it's got more stability.
Nick Mullins barely proved that he could be a passable quarterback.
Stats are similar to Josh Rosen.
But I'm saying you're talking about Nick Mullins with a fantastic offensive mind in Kyle Shanahan, and you're looking at Jacoby Brissett, who is a backup, and he's been nothing more. And everyone looks at that Houston Texans game. Bill Belichick catered that offense for Jacoby Brissett to do well. I'm not saying Jacoby can't be a good backup, but I think that's all he is. If I'm the Steelers, I am not looking for a quarterback of the future.
Well, they also got Mason Rudolph that they drafted last year.
You have Juju. Losing Antonio Brown. I need more help. I'm losing Le'Veon Bell. I know James Conner was there and did a fantastic job, but you need more talent. And Josh Rosen, I think, is the only quarterback that you can go out and trade for. Because he is so young, he is, you know, on a very cheap deal. Mm-hmm. You can work and build him up to be your next franchise quarterback. But guys like Nick Mullins, Jacoby Brissett, you're selling too short on Antonio Brown. I would be looking for teams that I could pick swap with. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm the Niners, I'm not going at him for Nick Mullins. I'm going like, hey, we'll pick swap first. I'll give you Antonio Brown, and then, like, you know, another pick, like a third or fourth. Like, I think that's the deal you need to make. You need to go out and get young
talent.
Like a team
like Buffalo that might need a wide receiver that you can jump into ninth pick. Or like the Redskins where, hey, you need a wide receiver, we can jump up to 15.
I think that's not the Redskins move, but yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that you need to do and need to look at is what teams can offer you the ability to move up and add young talent, especially with guys like the kid from LSU, who's the linebacker, Devin White.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with his speed and ability, like, you know, we saw what Ryan Shazier did in Pittsburgh. We know Pittsburgh's ability to build up linebackers. If they were able to get into position to take him and try to replace Ryan Shazier with a guy like Devin White,
yeah.
I know he's a little bit of a project. Brett Coleman put out a video about him breaking him down.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic telling you about the ceiling that this kid could hit. Like, that would be a guy that I think would make sense for the Steelers. I just think the Steelers, if you're looking for a trade partner, the Cardinals can offer you Josh Rosen, but I don't even know if that's the best they can offer you because even then, they could offer you the first round pick or the number one overall pick. They shouldn't.
Well,
they shouldn't.
And
shouldn't.
He does make a fair point, though, Dave, that like Josh Rosen is a fourth. I first saw that and was like, is that what the Steelers are going to want? Aren't they going to want more? Like, I thought they would want a first or a second.
I think if Antonio was on a cheaper deal, it would be more.
But yeah, but it's 22, 18, 19. I mean, that's a lot of money. No,
what,
I think
what goes into your thoughts?
Rosen absolutely is the best of the talent you mentioned. I think Brissett is a stopgap quarterback. Like, he can be a quarterback at the professional level. He's got good size to him. He has a decent arm. Obviously, he's been a backup for some very, very talented guys. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I don't know that given the reins to run with the team for a full year, like, we saw a little bit of that experiment already with the Colts, and I didn't love it. But, you know, if there's a team that can make guys work in an offense, it's Pittsburgh. I just think that Rosen's the guy. He's the successor to Ben Roethlisberger's throne. The will he, won't he retire game for the last 2 years, and again this year. And it's like, dude, I get it. But, like, this franchise needs to move on. And whether it is Mason Rudolph.
And they've already made that decision with Le'Veon. They said, we're not going to franchise tag Le'Veon.
Exactly. So I think that's the big question is, you know, if you've got Mason Rudolph, you know what's better than having one potential future guy? Two.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, throw as much shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly.
Basically.
It's quarterbacks are not a science. Quarterbacks are finding the right fit for your guy, for your team, for your system. Like, there's so much that goes into that. That's why guys like Tom Brady, the shirt that you're wearing right now, were able to succeed when teams overlooked him. But look, he got put into the best position to succeed. Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger.
It was also luck, too.
I mean, luck involved. But, like, Ben Roethlisberger was a guy who came in and, like, he had an instant success in the NFL. 11 straight wins to start his career, I believe. Yep. I mean, he was a monster role. I just think that Josh Rosen's a guy where if he was put into that system, that's, like, the Steelers, I can see why they would want him. Like Sean said, that year two jump, that's exactly what I'd be looking for. It's like, look, Ben's had some health concerns. He's definitely got some drive concerns. Let's get the guy who's
definitely got
some
character concerns.
Definitely.
As well.
Oh my God. There's a lot of concerns with that man. So I would go for a guy who is exactly what I want. He can be a clean cut professional quarterback, no issues. Smart kid, has a drive. He's shown the drive. He has a thirst for more knowledge about the game. Absolutely all in on that.
And that's why, for me, I feel like I wouldn't make this move if I was the Cardinals. I wouldn't, because I would keep Josh Rosen, see what he can do here. I'll go ahead and get Quinn and Williams or Nick Bosa with my first pick, whichever one I want to use to bolster up my defense.
Final hot take, because I don't think I've been hot enough, which is sarcasm.
Yeah, bring it.
Why hasn't Mike Tomlin been fired yet?
Thank you.
I've
been on that boat for like 2 years now.
I've been saying it for 4 years. This guy has
Mark
lost
has been
two,
annoyed every time
he's
I
been
bring
lost,
it up.
He's lost two stars
Thank
now.
Thank you.
He is supposed to be a defensive genius, but where is Pittsburgh's defense
can't
been
beat Bill
for the
Belichick.
Past 4 years? He can't beat anybody. He fucking missed the playoffs with James Conner, Big Ben. He lost to the Ravens, who were throwing out Lamar Jackson, for Christ's sakes.
I think,
like,
that's the egregious mark, is losing to that Ravens team.
Like,
honestly, I want to give credit to the Ravens because they had a game plan and they stuck with it, and people were just
and they made
confused.
They made the switch.
This is the laziest team I've ever seen in NFL history. They have stars that do not want to play. The guys with talent do not want to play. The only fucker that wants to play on that team is Juju. Like, I mean, honestly.
But he also wants to stream.
And James Conner.
That's right.
He stepped in.
But he makes some questionable hair choices.
Juju be streaming as well.
That first haircut to start of the season was weird.
I forgot about that.
But yeah, I just think Mike Tomlin needs to get the can.
I'm the same way.
He's like Lovie Smith, but like with a beard. With a darker beard.
Okay, I'm like,
so
Lovie's got a beard,
though.
Too.
Like, Tomlin's intimidating at times. And that man gets...
Yeah, Tomlin's
my chest gets tight when he talks sometimes.
But this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you guys think down below. Do you think Mike Tomlin needs to be fired? And also, what would you do if you were the Cardinals or the Steelers? Steelers, what are you asking for? Cardinals, do you make the move? Do you get rid of Josh Rosen to bring in Kyler Murray? And AB, obviously.
Yes.
Let us know what you think in the comments. But guys, let's move on into our next segment. And we're talking a little bit about the AAF, recording this. So this is going to come out, like, I believe this one will be regular scheduled. So it'll be Thursday.
Cool.
But
so we're missing
recording
all
this
the
Saturday.
AAF content.
I am throwing it out right now. There's one game right now that has been played today.
Yep.
It is the Salt Lake Stallions beat the Arizona Hotshots 23-15. We are getting ready for my Memphis Express going up against the Orlando Apollo. Buying in, Sean.
They're going to get their ass rolled.
We've lost two games straight.
Well, here's my thing is I was going to pick the Express too. But oh my God, I am jumping off that bandwagon as quick as possible.
You know what?
I can't be called a bandwagoner because
good, yes, and I'm in on it.
I cannot be called.
I said I will, and I'm going.
I can't be called a bandwagoner because it's literally just started. I don't care. I need to find my team. Yeah. Do not want to do the Memphis Express. I think Mike Singletary and Christian Hackenberg should have been a way clearer sign that this team was going to be much worse. Yeah. But they've been bad. I'm loving Spurrier. They've been fun.
Which team is Spurrier?
Apollos.
That's right. That's right. The team they're going up against. But I mean, the one that I can't root for all good reason is the Birmingham Iron.
Why not? Just,
I'm not a fan of like that team. I'm not a fan of that like just the boring black and silver. It just reminds me of like the Steelers or Alabama.
Luis Perez has been a really like surprising talent so far. I've been shocked at how good he's been.
But what we're talking about with the AAF is apparently there have been two names in kind of the rumor mill for the AAF to reach out. Apparently, first off, Mark was telling me, I didn't hear this, but Mark did, that apparently the league didn't have enough money to pay its players. So it needed an emergency investment from an investor to keep going. Hilarious. So there's that.
Well, what I heard is one of the original investors pulled out, and then they needed somebody.
Okay.
And the owner of the Hurricanes actually stepped in with a quarter of $1 billion.
Okay. Because
good guy.
Yeah.
From what I heard from Mark was like, yeah, they couldn't pay their players, which just sounded bad. But apparently the AAF reached out to Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow, and their names have been thrown out. I think Cap has given a hard no. Right now,
I mean, I didn't hear a hard no. I heard a more of a F you.
Here is what I am going to ask you. We're not asking will they, won't they.
Yeah.
We're asking should they. Oh. So, Dave, I'm going to ask you, Colin Kaepernick, Tim Tebow, should they be interested? Should they join the AAF?
Absolutely. This is the exciting sport. This is the up-and-coming sport. It's the new hot.
The exciting sport where the big hits matter.
Well, here's the big hits do matter, and they come, and I'm just terrified
here
for some of
the
these.
Boom.
Yes. Great movie, by the way.
Yes.
Great movie.
What movie?
Here Comes the Boom.
With Kevin James? No, fuck that. No.
Yeah,
as a fan of MMA, I'm never watching that.
I had to pause that just so I could get
out. I think my brain shut off when you brought that up.
But go ahead, Dave.
But no, okay. So in all seriousness, baseball's boring. Tim Tebow would be amazing in the AAF.
Baseball's boring.
Is it not?
It is.
Thank you.
It's not.
Thank you.
You said it's not
it's
boring?
It's not.
Oh, it totally is.
It's not.
It's incredibly boring. It's the longest sport. Nobody cares about it for three of its however many months it takes to complete a season.
Well, we're starting now and it goes until October.
Yeah.
So six.
Way too fucking many. So people care for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. When your sport has that little relevancy.
You know NBA goes from October to May, right?
June. Finals are in June.
Okay, that's literally
NBA is season round,
that's
bitch.
Eight months. 8 months.
Well, year
and
round.
I care every single day. Every single day. Sorry. Let's actually wrangle this in.
We're getting sidetracked here. Kaepernick, Tebow, should they join the
AAF? Absolutely yes, because he was something that was unique. He was a lightning rod for the sport. Obviously, he put his faith first, and people were very divisive on that.
Some were turned off on it.
Yeah.
Some were
people were very divisive
gung-ho.
About that. But the thing that made it special was his love for the game. The fact that he went out there, he was able to do what he loved, and he had fun doing it, and I think he was a great leader in the locker room. Everybody loved working with him, playing with him. So if he came back to a sport where that was his first love. Baseball's great and all. Don't get me wrong. He's able to hit some dingers, but he's not going to cut it as a professional baseball player, but he could be a professional AAF player, which would be even cooler in my mind. Colin Kaepernick, also lightning rod, very different reasons, but he has the talent. He should be in the NFL. There's no argument there. The NFL just paid him money because there was collusion around the fact that no one would sign him.
Yeah.
So, with that one, due to the relationship with the NFL and the AAF, I don't know that he ever would go there. But if he did go there, he would instantly be their star.
Without a doubt.
He was a special player when he had last played. He would instantly be a star of the league. I absolutely love the potential of him going to the
AAF.
What
do you think, Sean?
I don't know if he was a star player when he last played.
I didn't say a star when he last played. I said a great player when he last played.
That is even more of a stretch.
Really? I thought his last time on the 49ers, not before they sat him, but like when he actually played.
Well, when he first started his career, he was insane.
Yeah.
Ron Jaworski was calling him the greatest quarterback of all time.
I remember that.
Four games. but no, he got benched midway through the season.
I feel like that was a little
he was not like, it was, it was probably a mix of politics. I will not write that off. But I think the majority – I mean, he wasn't great. Like, he should be a backup quarterback in the NFL, without a doubt. He has that talent. But I don't know if he should be a starter. Or if he would be a starter, if we're just going –
I think there are some guys that I would rather him.
If we're taking the politics out of it, which is hard to do in Kaepernick's situation. I think that he would probably be competing for a starting job. I just don't know if he'd get one. I think for both of them, they should not do it. My biggest thing with Tebow is he could totally revitalize his NFL career, but we've seen everything that I think we have out of Tebow's football career. Like, he's a fantastic college quarterback. He was, you know, one of the most insane players to watch when he was in Florida. He had the great moment in the NFL with the Denver Broncos. I just don't think there's anything else he can add on to his football legacy, right? If he goes in, plays well at the AFF, that's awesome. But, like, he's still not an NFL quarterback, and that does carry a lot of weight. All these guys in the AFF are trying to be NFL quarterbacks. I think that door is closed on Tim Tebow being an NFL quarterback again. So I don't think he should, and I think his baseball career, while it isn't anything spectacular, I think it's better than anyone would have thought. I mean, right, last year in AA, hit .273, on-base percentage of .336, slugging percentage under .400. Not great, but, I mean, again, for a guy who has not played baseball in so long, pretty impressive for a 30-year-old. And I think if he does have that opportunity at some point, if the Mets do trail off late in the season and they do call him up, and him making it in, if he's able to hit a home run, I mean, like, talk about the movie ending this guy's going to have.
Apple.
Yeah, like, literally. If he's in Citi Field, goes deep, dead center, he's and hits, and fuck, if it's a walk-off.
He's got the power, too.
If it's a walk-off, yeah.
You just wrote a Disney movie.
What if his life is already a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I bet he has fucking Bambi walking around. He's got the whole, like, clean look.
He's got Dumbo in his
pants. Yeah, that's Tim Tebow boxers, or boxer briefs, right?
Yeah, he's got a clean cut.
So that's how he came back and won that year in Florida. He had the genie in the lamp.
Motion.
No, he was
genie. Yeah, I got that. I was rubbing my genie last night.
I'm gonna hold it up here then.
I just think with Tebow again,
you're
like
in this room way too
you
long.
You look at like his spotlight in the media. Great college quarterback, was doubted, and then everyone's like, what the fuck? This guy's a first round pick. And then he has that moment in Denver where he wins the playoff game, and then he he kind of has a falling out in the NFL. He just didn't really pan out in the Eagles or the Patriots, and then going back and trying in a different sport and actually making it and having a big moment in the MLB, I think would be actually absolutely huge compared to the AAF, because no matter how big football is, the NFL is number one. And then baseball, NBA, NHL are behind it. AAF is not that level. It is football, but it's not to that level where it means as much. And if you're hitting an MLB home run, that is big. If you're scoring a touchdown on the AAF, it's not as big as an MLB home run.
And you're hitting on a big point to where how I see it, in terms of Tebow and Cap, means nothing to them. Like, the AAF means nothing to them.
Yeah.
Getting Tebow and Cap means everything to the AAF. Because here's the problem, and this is kind of the crux of this conversation, is my problem with the AAF, and I get it's supposed to be like a developmental league.
Yeah.
And it might be hard to get us to care about these players right now, but I feel like the AAF need at least a Tebow or at least a Kaepernick type of player to bring guys into it. Because, like, if I'm going and I'm using our lads because they've got the depth chart for the AAF teams, I'm going to go with just the starting quarterbacks coming into this week. For the Atlanta Legends, we've got Matt Sims as their starting quarterback. Backing him up is Aaron Murray, played for Georgia. Then for Birmingham, you've got Luis Perez as their starting quarterback. For the Express, Christian Hackenberg. All right, people know who he is. For the, what team is this? This is the Apollos. Your boy, you liked him when he was coming out of... I want to say it was SMU, I believe. Remember Garrett Gilbert day?
I do.
Yeah.
He's in Texas Tech.
Or no, he wasn't Texas. He was a smaller Texas school.
Texas transfer, I think.
Was he? Okay, that's right.
I'll look it up.
Then you have Philip Nelson for the San Diego Fleet. You've got for the Commanders, let's see, Logan Woodside is your Commanders quarterback. You've got Josh Woodrum for the Stallions. And then you have John Walford for the Hotshots. most of these names, no one's going to know. Like, that's their problem right now, is that nobody knows most of the names in this league.
Yeah, Gilbert started at Texas and then transferred to SMU. Okay. It's a big point that you're hitting on, that nobody – there's not that brand name
but
at the brand
position.
But if they
bring in, like, a Tim Tebow – Cap, I don't think they're going to bring in. But if they bring in a Tim Tebow, that could change.
I think what it does is it legitimizes the AAF, to be honest with you. It's a developmental league, so it should be guys who need a shot, who need that spotlight on them. If there was
but
a
right
thing,
now, they might need that one guy to bring eyes to.
I think what it would be like, and I know this isn't going to happen because he's going to be signed by an NFL team, but if Teddy Bridgewater's injury was more dramatic, like that would
he
be the guy.
To,
you know, put him in a situation where he can work his way back. And if he came in and lit up the AAF, that would be big. But a guy like Colin Kaepernick, he's had his NFL career. And what does he need to prove football-wise?
Nothing.
He's trying to do something political. And all power to him. I'm not trying to bash that. But his mindset right now is, you know, building up that political mindset. And if he goes in and you know, restarts his football career, which I think he'd be fine doing, I think the
then
biggest
you know,
thing...
You know there'll be people that'll spin it negatively, too.
Well,
like, he's taking jobs away from people.
I
and
don't
it's
think
like,
it's that at all.
Why?
My point,
no.
My
why?
Point
why?
Is...
Like, why even
you're take,
spin
you're,
it that way?
I mean, no. I don't think anyone's going to spin it that way. My thing would just be is if he comes in and doesn't perform, then people will take it as attack it. Yeah, and it's like he's a bum. His position doesn't matter. I think it would. It might possibly delegitimize his position if he doesn't play well, because he hasn't played football in the past 2 years. So I think that's a risk he runs. He has nothing to prove from a football standpoint, and all of his gains will come politically if he's able to get back in the NFL, which he won't be. Then that will be able to prove his point, that he is talented enough to make it there. The AAF is not going to provide him
Whereas
that platform.
Tebow, if he feels like, hey, I'm never going to get to the Mets, could be like, hey, I like playing football. Let me go and play football
that's the thing.
Before I age out.
I think it's a passion for Tebow. That's where it's different. Like, I think the Mets thing could be interesting, and it 100% could happen.
But will
like,
he get to the major leagues and get that chance
but what,
to talk
but what,
about?
It's an attraction.
I mean, outside,
the Mets need some attention if they're doing bad in the season. Absolutely, there's a chance in a year or two he gets called up, and he gets that storybook ending like Sean sold.
Outside of, you know, the ability of just wanting to play football, what does Tim Tebow need to do to his football career?
We're saying passion. He still wants to play the game before he can't anymore.
I just don't
think too old.
His passion right now is baseball, and I think if he was pushed into it,
that's the difference.
He was not.
He was. It was basically like you're washed up in football. Nobody wants you around.
He had a fine job at ESPN.
I had the same conversation with Mark on the podcast last week, where and I believe the same thing, Dave, is if the AAF was around when Tim Tebow was 100%. In the NFL, he would have never went to baseball. He would have been in the AAF.
That's fine. I'm just saying he was not pushed into baseball. He took his time from NFL to baseball. He had a passion that developed.
Dave's saying pushed is like there was no development.
There was no opportunity for him to continue playing football.
And
he did not want to go international and play in Canada, so he went and stayed.
And that's an argument that could happen if it was 2016 the AAF happened. Yeah. For sure, without a doubt.
It's also a short-term gig, too. Think about it. The AAF is not a full season. It's not a year-round season.
They're done in, I want to say, April. No. Right. Yeah, April is when their season ends.
Just don't think that Tebow can add anything to his football legacy, and it would just be a waste of his time, to be honest with you.
Is it a waste if you enjoy your time spent?
No. Said no.
That's the argument. Like, I get you from a legacy standpoint. We put these people on pedestals.
He's also going to be a dad soon.
And we
he just got married.
Legacy so much.
He's going to be a dad soon, probably. He just got married. Like, I don't think football would be a smart choice for him because he's going to be older. He's going to be slower. He's not going to be the same quarterback. Like, go play baseball. You're having fun. Like, you know, if you can make it to the MLB, that's a huge thing for you.
Quality of life, man. He's traveling around on buses in AA. Like, I don't know if that's where
And the second he's done with that, like, he's on ESPN doing college game day and
but
has a ton of money.
4 months playing football, the game that you love.
Would you rather?
And then going on ESPN?
You're still playing in the same level of competition. You're still traveling on shitty transportation. Like, the transportation doesn't get better at the AAF.
They actually have flights. They actually fly.
Okay. Oh, big flight. Oh, you're getting a coach flight.
That's because they only have a game a week because they're not a shitty 162 game, way too fucking long season.
Okay. The
Dave against baseball.
Spring training is, minor leagues is shorter than 162.
I know.
But even then, it's like, you're not going to be staying in professional hotels at the AAF. Like, you're playing in Salt Lake City. Like, you're not
playing. There's some fine hotels in Salt Lake City. It's a good town.
Can we end this topic? He's being a dick.
Am I wrong? Are you demanding?
I don't know.
Salt
I've
City?
Never been to Salt
Is
Lake
it a
City.
Second class
you know,
city to you?
Do you know what? You know where?
I've been there. You know I've spent time there.
Why?
Because I went on a vacation out west.
With who?
My His family.
You guys went to Salt Lake City?
We went to Colorado and we passed through Salt Lake City.
How?
Stayed a couple nights there. Because you got a loop.
I'm pretty sure I'm bad at geography. I am pretty sure that Colorado is above Utah. And I think you can just go straight west.
I am.
I think you can go straight west to Denver.
Here's a map of the United States.
Yeah.
We're gonna see
Colorado becomes before Utah. So you made the decision to go to Utah.
Correct.
You did not have to pass through Utah.
Correct.
That's a dumb idea. Your family had a dumb vacation. You know what's not in the top 20 vacation destinations in the U.S.? Salt Lake City, for good reason.
The same vacation where you saw the WCW guys?
Yes, it was. And that was in Salt Lake City.
I thought so.
I actually saw Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman during the WCW days.
That's pretty sick.
Was it a waste now, Sean?
So the thing was, we left.
Dennis Rodman's cool. I see Dennis Rodman. Just go to a Pearl Jam concert.
We left Illinois and we went all the way over Colorado, Utah, and then Idaho, Montana.
Ugh.
And then South Dakota, or Wyoming, South Dakota, and we kind of zigzagged our way back.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
It was a fun time. I love road trips.
Point being,
don't disrespect Salt Lake City.
Tim Tebow.
That's what we're taking away. Should Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow play in the AAF? Don't disrespect Salt Lake City. That's the takeaway.
I'll end it with this. My problem right now.
Who do you play for? Orlando.
Who?
If Tebow signed Orlando, right?
Tebow.
Do they maintain his college rights since he played at Florida?
Probably.
I think that's a whole big thing with AAF.
He probably wanted to go play
with Spurrier. I'm guessing
that'd be interesting.
That would be. Awesome, too. Here's my two problems with the AAF right now.
Sure.
No names right now, and of course, we got to get used to these names.
Yep.
And two, I feel like the defenses are way too strong and the offenses are not that good, which might level out through years, but they need a big name. That's what I think. They need at least one to draw some attention. Because I want the AAF to be successful. I do, too,
and I don't want to say
because I like football.
I just think that, like, you – like. It's a developmental league. It's not a professional league. So, of course, the names aren't going to be huge because it's developmental. And, yes, there are guys
it's
like Tim Tebow and Colin Kaepernick.
Well, that's the thing. It's got that special factor that, well, basketball's developmental league is going during the season.
Mm-hmm.
The AAF is after. So we get 100% focus on this product. And I think that's what could – that's where – you know, it's a developmental league, but it's also got people's attention.
Yeah.
So,
and I think there's going to be opportunities for guys like Tim Tebow. Like, there's going to be guys that come out again, like Troy Smith as well, like former Heisman guys that, you know, just don't make it because they're not big enough. Like, Kyler might have been that guy, but obviously Kyler's more talented.
Kyler's a stud.
He's more athletic than Tim Tebow was. So I think, like, you know, there's going to be opportunities to find those guys that come out of college. And, you know, I mean, obviously the USFL did that as well. They were able to get, like, Steve Young, Bo Jackson. Jim Kelly, like their names that came out and became Hall of Famers out of the USFL. So the blueprint's there. I just don't think it needs to be, let's go out and get a brand name already.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to find a name that is young and still fits the MO of this league, and that's being a developmental league.
Well, even for the underdogs, it's getting better.
Well, this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in the comment section. Should Tim Tebow, should Colin Kaepernick join the AAF? Let us know what you're thinking down below. But guys, let's dive into our last topic. And what we are looking at is kind of a dual topic here with the Giants of two things. First off, there was not really news, but Colin Cowherd this week. I'm going to read it exactly just how this article has it because it always makes me laugh.
Sure.
How they word things.
Yeah.
Thanks to sports media personality Colin Cowherd on his talk show earlier this week, the FS1 host said that Wilson's wife, singer and entertainer Sierra, would prefer to live in New York, according to a rumor he heard in the entertainment agent world. Here's the question I want to ask you guys is – of course, we know no truth to this. I don't know Sierra Russell Wilson. You don't know Sierra Russell Wilson, unless that's what you do on your free time, Sean.
Yeah, no, she's actually my best friend.
I say, Russell Wilson's Sierra. A dear friend of mine.
Yeah, me Ariana Grande, and Russell Wilson hanging out.
Here's the thing I want to ask you, and I proposed this because of this. So, Russell Wilson's contract ends at the end of the year.
Yep.
That means he's a free agent. Much of the talk has been, oh, should the Giants trade for him? I say, no, don't do that. Should the Giants, with their sixth pick, not go quarterback, either go with a wide receiver or tackle to help their offense, or trade with a team who might be wanting to trade up for one of the quarterbacks and go all in on Russell Wilson after the 2019 season. What would you guys think?
I think that if you are the New York Giants, I think not taking a quarterback this year would be extremely misguided. Eli Manning is done pretty much. I know he's the face of your franchise. He's won you two Super Bowls. He's an important name in New York Giant history.
After you didn't take Sam Darnold last year.
Yeah, I think you cannot do that again. There's no Saquon Barkley to make up for your mistakes. There is not a guy that is going to be able to change your franchise on the defensive end like a quarterback could.
Unless like a Quinnen Williams or something.
If someone falls.
I still think that, again, when we talk about like best players in the NFL, mm-hmm. Aaron Donald might be number one, but people are going to look back more on Tom Brady's impact mm-hmm. or, you know, Patrick Mahomes' impact. That's the thing is you need that franchise changer.
Yep.
And I think passing that up would be extremely misguided because even if you do sign Russell Wilson, next year, you can always move him. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think that where Sierra wants to live is too extremely important because Russell Wilson is going to be a multimillionaire after he signs this deal. Sierra is extremely successful on her own right. If she wants to live in New York, I mean, they can have a place in New York. And, you know, it's going to be tough to do that throughout the season, but during the offseason, you can live in New York. There's ways around it. I personally do not think this is as big of a story as it's going to be made out to be.
Even in February when Russell Wilson's at spring training? In Arizona?
Well, he plays for the New York Yankees, so
yeah, but
there you go.
He spends the time in Arizona. He's only in spring training.
I think that you're not too far off of the truth there, Sean, except for the fact that I do believe her voice has some weight.
It doesn't have weight.
He's about to get la-la'd.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
He's going to get la-la'd.
His choice is not his own.
Mello was from New York.
Yeah.
I think that made it a little bit easier. I think Mello also wanted
Mello's
to play
time
New York.
In college, growing up in New York. I get it. But I just think that, you know, the opinion of someone who you're spending the rest of your life with, your family, and the time you spend, like you said, you can have multiple houses. You can have places everywhere around the world. It doesn't matter. But where are you going to spend that time? And because he's an NFL player, he already has X months of the year spoken for.
Yeah.
So if that means that during your off days, you can't come home and spend time with your family, that's a big deal. Because the NFL, you're basically practicing, you know, 6 days a week for one game, and you know you get a couple hours a day of private
time.
God
forbid it's a road game and you're traveling.
True. I think that those home hours do matter a lot, and I think that if he is a family man, there's a good chance her opinion will fall into
thing I want to say is that we wouldn't take her opinion in. I think for sure does.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't think that's the end all be all. Because, I mean, you can see right now, I mean, look at Tom Brady, a person who his wife Giselle is, I think, more famous than Sierra.
Absolutely.
With her, international and global.
Sierra fans are going to get angry, but.
Well, Giselle is richer than Tom Brady.
Yeah,
it's just not even
her international global presence is huge. And I think that, you know, I don't think Giselle's, you know, main place she wants to live is the greater Massachusetts area. I think she'd probably want to be in New York where she's closer to the modeling industry. She might want to even be back home in Brazil. I don't know where Giselle wants to live, but I think there's probably been conversations. But again, like that when you marry somebody, you know what their job entails. And that goes both ways for Russell Wilson and Sierra and Sierra's career and Russell Wilson's career. And same with Giselle and Tom. I just think that, again, this is something that you need to talk about as a couple, but I don't think it's going to be the end-all, be-all for Russell Wilson making this decision. And, hey, Colin knows Russell Wilson. He's very much
in the loop.
Yeah, in the loop. They have interviews all the time on the Herd, but I just do not think like that is going to be the end-all, be-all on where Russell Wilson plays in 2019.
Do you think it's a risk?
Or 2020.
Do you think it's a risk if they take Dwayne Haskins at 6? And they still want Russell Wilson the following year. Do you think that they could flip Dwayne Haskins if they ever wanted to move?
They could, but here's what I'm thinking. And for the Giants, after I heard this, the Colin Cowherd, because I actually watched the segment, and...
Thanks for the did you watch.
Well, I went it's like a light bulb went off in my head, and I went, huh, they don't need to take a quarterback. Like, why not do what the 49ers did, where it's like, hey, we're not going to take Mitch Trubisky. We're going to let someone trade up for him. Like, they could, because look at this team. Their top three needs, according to NFL.com, are quarterback, O-line, and D-line.
Yeah.
So, first off, if you're thinking, hey, we got a good shot to get Russell Wilson, there's number one right there. at six, let's say they don't trade. At six, if I'm just looking at our mock drafts for Mark and I this mm-hmm. past go around 4.0, I had my top offensive tackles were at 7 and 9. Jonah Williams, Juwan Taylor. Can take either of them at six if you like them. Also, if you want to go D-line, you could go with a inside presence like Ed Oliver. You mm-hmm. can go with an outside presence like Montez Sweat. You can even go Christian Wilkins. Like
you have there are so guys you can go.
Or if you think like Wilkins, oh, you're trading back. Oh, let me trade with a team like the Redskins, get a future first potentially or a future second, and then go back and get a defensive player and not have to take that quarterback. Also, you can look at it this way, and this is one thing I believe, is if you are bad this year and have a top five pick, if not the number one pick in the draft, because free agency happens before the draft, let's say you strike out with Russell Wilson. Let's say he stays in Seattle. Let's say he goes to his hometown and says, I want to be a Bengal because he's from Cincinnati. I don't know who would ever say that. Let's say you strike out with Russell Wilson.
Guess who's
hey,
available
guess
in the draft?
Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah. And I'd rather have him than Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins.
That's actually, I mean, that's actually interesting, Rick. I think you might be onto something.
I think it is something to go at, like, to think about for sure.
Yeah.
I just think with...
Right?
Because it's a long game, too. You've got the Eagles that are competitive. You've got the Cowboys that are competitive. You give them another year of their contracts getting towards the end. Eventually, right. The Cowboys are going to have to pay Dak, which is going to take a big hold of their money.
Mm-hmm.
They got to figure out what they're going to do with Amari Cooper, too.
Carson will come up at some point
exactly,
for the Eagles.
Like, it takes a year of, okay, we're going to let your contracts get a year older.
As long as they can keep OBJ and Saquon.
That's the thing is when will they get too upset? Because, yeah. I mean, they're locked
another
in.
Year of
they're locked in.
I don't think Saquon will. It's OBJ that's the question.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're looking at, like you said, it's a long-term thing. If you look at next year, like a throwaway year.
Because Eli's got 1 year left. He's got this year and he's done.
If it's just a throwaway year and I'm going to be guaranteed either Russell Wilson or Tua, I'll be honest, I'm in that minority probably who's going to be like, fuck it, go play a shitty season. I don't care. Like I will take one bad season for seven locked
but it hasn't
seasons.
Been one bad season. That's the thing. It's like the Giants have not been good.
Well, they had 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, they were a decent team.
This year they're sixth. Last year they're second. Who did they take the year prior? Was it?
I'm looking at their season.
Was that the
season.
Eli Apple year? Were they 13th?
So they finished last year. They were 5-11, then 3-13. 2016, they were 11-5, lost in the wild card to the Packers. I remember that day because I got my TV that day.
Yeah, I just think that another year, and then you have to question the coach too. I think like you can't just losing to lose is not really explainable.
But these short-term decisions.
We live in the tanking era.
Not in the NFL. There's still consequences there's more consequences for tanking in the NFL than there are in the NBA.
I mean, it's not as easy to do as in the NBA, but there.
But it's also easier to explain. It's also easier to get the number one pick, even if you're the sixth team. You have a chance of being the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening in the NFL.
Well, and I mean,
and also one player can change a franchise in the NBA. One player does not change the franchise, but you can
unless it's a quarterback.
But it doesn't change the franchise. It makes it easier to change the franchise.
Agree to disagree.
And that's
where do you disagree with that?
I think that one player absolutely changes the franchise in the NFL.
Like if you get the right quarterback.
Okay, has Aaron Rodgers made Green Bay Packers a playoff team in the past 2 years?
I mean, that's
not been healthy.
That's probably the most interesting one because I know Marcus thrown out numerous times that
Andrew Luck, what Andrew Luck being healthy has done to the Indianapolis Colts.
They've been a good team when he's healthy. Yes, health is always the thing.
But
like you're picking on these injured guys.
No, but I'm just saying that, of course, it's the most important. It's the most important, but like, Andrew Luck has not always gone to the playoffs every single year.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers has not gone to the playoffs every single year.
No,
even
it's
when
not
healthy,
a guarantee. But,
even when healthy.
But
Peyton Manning was not winning playoff games when healthy.
Like, not he having to answer the question of who our quarterback is for the next 7 years
it's
guaranteed.
Huge.
Massive.
But then, why wouldn't you want to answer that question earlier than later? Because even if you answer that and say Haskins isn't our guy after 1 year, you might still be in the position to take Tua.
You might be, but the problem is then you basically wasted last year's opportunity for a guy that I know there's a lot of people who really love Dwayne Haskins. The dude has a cannon for an arm. Mm-hmm. Amazing college run. I look at someone a year out. Maybe I'm always just, grass is always greener in college. I just look at Tua and I'm like, the man's delivered everything you could possibly want from a college quarterback. And there's no better prospect that I've seen in the last, I don't know, 6 years than him.
Well, then why not just wait one more year for Trevor Lawrence? Because he's even better than Tua.
Is he?
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is a fucking stud.
There's rumors that Trevor Lawrence might be better. But, like, I feel like that's too long.
Rumors. There's tape, brother.
No.
Look at the tape.
Let's see. 2 more years.
He was really good.
I'm just saying. I was a big Trevor Lawrence doubter because I was like, how good is this kid? And then you saw those last two games and you're like, oh, this kid's really good.
I don't know if the Giants are waiting that long. But here's the thing where I will throw out about Andrew Luck.
But no,
let me just throw this out.
That's my counter-argument is you can always wait.
He's a bad example because if you're saying, like, they don't always make the playoffs, the only year that Andrew Luck didn't make the playoffs was when he went 8-7 in 2016 in between his two injured seasons. Every other year, they've been a playoff team with Andrew Luck. Yeah. So, I mean, and who knows if Tua's going to be that? Like, Tua could bust. We don't know.
But to even go after that, like, when they didn't have, like, they made the playoffs with Peyton Manning, then Peyton got injured, they put in Curtis Painter, they were 2-14, they got Andrew Luck, they were a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it can change a franchise, but that team also hasn't won a Super Bowl since 2006.
And it also goes to the effect of, like, what Dave brought up. They could say, hey, at 6, we're going to take Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. You're going to sit behind Eli.
If Eli gets hurt,
you come in. But let's say next year...
We can re-bench Eli.
Let's say next year they sign Russell Wilson. Yeah. Then at that point, they can say, all right, who wants Dwayne Haskins?
Aren't you not then taking down his trade value of letting him sit? Because then teams are going to question, well, what's his actual talent level if he hasn't played and you're starting garbage Eli Manning over him?
I mean, that's a decision they have to make.
You're not
going to
get your money back on the 6th overall pick for him, but I think that you could still get a 1.
Yeah. You could get a one for him.
I know. Like, my legs have, like, melted to this chair.
Like, but I feel like you could get a first-round pick for him.
Yeah.
At that point. And you're getting Russell Wilson.
I agree. You're not going to get the money back that you spent on him.
Which, like,
At least that way you have an answer one way or the other.
Yeah.
And
so if I were the Giants to wrap this up on my end, I would say take Haskins. It's at least
Try
for Russ anyways.
What about you?
Just, there's no guarantee. It scares me.
I think go after Haskins. Go after Haskins or Murray, whoever you believe is the better quarterback.
First one to throw out Murray in this one. Nice.
Well, because we just talked that he was going to go number one.
We're assuming.
But if he doesn't, he's still available.
John Gruden really liked him.
Go Haskins or Murray, and I think off of that, see what their progression is year one. Because the clear thing is that in signing Russell Wilson, it's going to be a lot of money. And it's going to be a lot of years for a guy who I think is going to be 31 years old. And not saying he's not talented and won't be able to keep up the production.
He'll be 31.
But you could be having a guy in Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, if they do play well, on a rookie deal. And we've seen how teams have done. Well, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Like, that is the recipe so far. And
the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears.
I think that's the recipe so far. Tom Brady. I think that's been the recipe so far. He gets paid like a rookie. I was joking.
That's fun.
I think that might be a thing. Because if they are talented, you make the playoffs or you're 8-8, then why would you go out and sign Russell Wilson with his cap? Mm-hmm. Go help your young quarterback. That makes more sense.
Yep.
I think for me, I'm feeling like if it was me, I'm going to be bold. Giants fans may not like me. Roll the dice. I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to look at three players. I'm going to look at Ed Oliver, Jonah Williams, Juwan Taylor. Whichever one I like out of those three, that's who I'm going to take at 6. Or if, like, the Lions, because I know Mark and I talked last week where the Lions threw out that they might trade up for a quarterback.
Yeah,
or they no, I'm sorry, not trade up for a quarterback. They would maybe take a quarterback at 8. But if a team like the Dolphins or Redskins move up, I might say, hey, let's make that deal. But at 6, those are the three guys I would look at and try for Russ the year after rather than take Dwayne Haskins and go the safe route. I may roll the dice and fans might be angry with me because, I mean, you need these and you add Russ and that might be enough to get you over that hump with an offensive tackle, offensive lineman, or a defensive tackle.
I think the last option that we haven't really gone after, I think this will be my final point, is what about Kyle Uletta?
I
I'm kidding.
Well, the reason why I have that like
I liked him
in last year's draft. I just don't know if he's going to pan out. Like, I don't know if he's going to be.
No, of course. I mean,
late round guy that could maybe develop in a couple years. I think the timelines maybe change.
I'd rather have Haskins or Wilson over Kyle Aletta. Of course, I was just being an asshole.
Okay. Well, this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in that comment section. Let us know what the Giants should do. Should they even go for Russell Wilson, or will Russell Wilson even be there? Do you believe the rumors from Colin Cowherd? Also, make sure to check us out on Patreon.com/MostValuablePodcast. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes, and make sure to follow us on Twitter @Schwarbo, @Dave_don't_tweet, @RickyWidmer, @MostValuablePod. Before I end it, Sean.
You didn't let me give my where Russell Wilson will play in 2020.
Go ahead.
The Salt Lake Stallions. He's going to end up in Salt Lake, Dave's favorite place in America.
The AAF.
He needs some development. He's 5'8".
Wow.
Shots fired, well, Sean Anderson.
Thank you guys for watching us on YouTube. Thank you guys for listening to us on podcast services around the world. Mark will hopefully be here next week, but as always.
If not, you could always have us back.
As always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.